voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live with him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy days be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him I saw my Son. And in that light of life I'll walk, till traveling days are done.
Good morning, and I welcome you back to the Word of Life radio program. I hope that you have your Bible with you, and if you're in a place where you can open it up, I want you to open up your Bible to John chapter 5. If you remember last week, I gave you two assignments. If you're a regular listener, if you're new, you're not responsible for the assignments this time. But John chapter 5, remember, we had some reading to do there, and John chapter 10. Now, there's another text that we'll try to bring in today, depending on just how our time works out and everything, in Mark chapter 14. But for right now, we're going to delve into these in just a few moments. What we had looked at, remember, in the last Lord's Day study, is we looked at the statements of the Gospel of Matthew about Jesus. We're talking about understanding the last week in the life of Jesus, that is, 25% of each of the Gospels at least, if not more, deal with that last week. We've got to understand who Jesus is so that we can understand that last week. So we begin in Matthew chapter 1 with the statement that Jesus is Emmanuel, that is, God with us. And talked about the fact that if John didn't or Matthew didn't support that, that it would be a claim made without basis. Now, it's not a good thing to say that you're God, unless, of course, you're God. And we looked at, remember the event in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And then followed that with the question, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter correctly identified Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus immediately tied that to what must happen in Jerusalem. And so the identity of Jesus, we see, is tied to the event in Jerusalem. That is, the fact that Jesus would go and suffer and die and be resurrected to vindicate us in our sinful state. So what we have, think about it, is the Gospel of Matthew supporting a very high picture of Jesus. We ended our study last Lord's Day here on the program with a quick look at John chapter 1. And remember, we looked at verses 1 through 3, verses 14 and 15, and verse 18. Now, there's much more in the first chapter to study, but we just didn't take the time to do that. The first passage talks about Jesus the Creator. The second passage talks about the visible glory made flesh, the one that existed beforehand. And then, in verse 18, God explained in Jesus. Now, with all of that said in the beginning of the Gospel of John, and as we said, that's a pretty lofty claim, does Jesus or the rest of the Gospel of John support that claim that was made? Well, the first assignment was John chapter 5. And if you did the reading in John chapter 5, you'll know that the first 14 verses of that chapter deal with Jesus and the healing of a lame man on the Sabbath day. Now, if you look here in verse 9 and 10, the man had been made well. It was the Sabbath on that day. The Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." Now, interestingly enough, the man goes on to tell him that it was one who healed him who said to carry his pallet. And so he had been there many years, unhealed. Jesus had come, had healed the man, and the Jews are upset. The Jewish people of that area, the leadership on down, are upset that he is breaking the Sabbath by carrying that pallet. Well, you know, there comes a matter of priority here. And that's something that Jesus talked about, Matthew 23 and several other places. Don't neglect the small things, but do the big things too, is what Jesus would say to the Jews at various times. But as we look through here, what we see is that there is a very interesting incident that takes place related to this healing. Look at verse 15 and 16 here in this passage. In talking about the same man who was healed, he'd been challenged by the Jews as to who had healed him. He didn't know who it was. We see these words in verse 15 and 16. The man went away and told the Jews after a discussion, after meeting Jesus, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Now, verse 15 and 16 don't make as much sense to us as they do to the Jews at that time. Sabbath was a holy day. The Sabbath was set apart in the law of God. And Jesus was working on the Sabbath. Well, there needed to be an answer to this. And if you'll look in verse 17 and 18, we see the event of Jesus answering their challenge and the understanding that they had of his words. Now, the best understanding that we can gain of the words spoken then are the way the people then understood them. That is, if a phrase or idiom is used, something like that, the people that speak the language all the time would know better than me what that meant. So listen to what Jesus said, and listen to what the Jews heard, because it's very challenging for us. Verse 17 and 18, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father." Now listen to this, making himself equal with God. Now, what I meant a while ago when I said that we've got to understand things through the way that they understood them, if you read verse 17 and you listen to what verse 17 says, I don't hear what they heard. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Well, you know, when my father was alive, I could say that my father was working and I myself am working, and all I meant was that both of us had jobs. That's not what Jesus meant at all. And that's not what the Jews understood him to say. What he was doing, number one, in their minds was breaking the Sabbath. But now they say that by calling God his own Father, he made himself equal with God. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus didn't say, and this begins to open up this to us a little bit. He didn't say, "Our Father is working until now." He said, "My Father is working until now." You see, he took it from the plural nation in that sense, and all the people of the world who could look at God as our Father and said he was my Father. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working, makes himself, in their understanding, to be claiming to be equal with God. Does that dovetail with what John chapter 1 says? And the answer is, yes, it does. Because what John chapter 1 says is that the Creator became flesh and shows us God. He existed beforehand. He is not someone that began at his birth. He is God who has existed always. That is what the Jews are understanding here this day in John chapter 5. Read again with me those words of verse 17 and 18. They're very important to hang on to. Read again. He answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, that's what it says. That's who he was. We'll study a little more in John chapter 10 after we take a break and listen to a song.
Just a few more days to travel, then my work on earth is o'er. What a happy time is waiting when I reach that happy shore. Many loved ones wait my coming, and it won't be very long. Just a few more days to stay here, then I'm going home. Just a few more days to travel in the sinful world below. Then I'll fly away to heaven, to that home I know, I know. I am waiting for the signal that shall speak my full release. Just a few more days of trouble, then I'll be at peace, sweet peace. Just a few more days to travel, then my work on earth is o'er. What a happy time is waiting when I reach that happy shore. Many loved ones wait my coming, and it won't be very long. Just a few more days to stay here, then I'm going home, my home. I'm just a weary pilgrim plodding through this desert sand. Soon I'll leave this world of sorrow to a better land, fair land. Just a few more days of waiting, just a while of toil and care. Then I'll reach that land of Canaan, live with loved ones there. Just a few more days to travel, then my work on earth is o'er. What a happy time is waiting when I reach that happy shore. Many loved ones wait my coming, and it won't be very long. Just a few more days to stay here, then I'm going home, my home.
Nearly two centuries before Jesus was speaking in John chapter 10, an event took place that allowed for a feast to be held in Jerusalem, and that is the rededication of the temple. The temple had been assaulted, been attacked, been destroyed, been defiled, if you will. And at that time, nearly two centuries before, in fact, about 195 years before, the temple had been rededicated. You'll see in verse 22 of John chapter 10 that the event that we're looking at took place at the Feast of Dedication. Let's read the text from verse 22 all the way down to verse 33. Because what we're looking for, remember, is the identity support for the claim of John in the first chapter. We've seen it in chapter 5. Jesus called God his Father, making himself to be equal with God. The people understood what would be here. John chapter 10, verse 22. At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Now, what I want you to do here is the same thing you did in John chapter 5. I want you to not listen to this with the American ears that we've got. but to look at what these people understood in the remark that Jesus made. Jesus said in verse 30, I and the Father are one. Now, we could use that to talk about agreement. We stand together, all this kind of stuff. You know, we are the world, that kind of thing. That's not what they understood Jesus to be saying. In fact, if you look at verse 31, Jews picked up stones again to stone him, not the first time that they had done this. Jesus questions as to why they're going to stone him, and they explain, it's not the good works you do, it's blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. That's what they understood in his words. So as we approach the last week of Jesus' life, we're not talking about a good man or even a prophet or even John the Baptist risen like Matthew chapter 16 says. We're not talking about the idea that the early church had of who Jesus was. We are talking about Jesus, God in flesh, God became flesh, the Creator from John chapter 1, the one who existed before John the Baptist, the one who reveals God. This is who we're talking about. I and the Father are one means that Jesus in the minds of the Jews was blaspheming. Now, very interesting point here. Jesus wasn't blaspheming. That's the point. Anybody else that would say this would be on the line with somebody who said, you know, I am a banana or I am a tree, something like that. You know, you can tell deranged people. But the Jews took very seriously what Jesus said, and John, the apostle, took very seriously what he understood Jesus to be saying too, didn't he? Because you know what John did? He recorded it, and he explained it. He let the understanding of the Jews explain exactly why they were angry at Jesus, exactly why they heard him and they said, "You are blaspheming." But with Jesus, it wasn't blasphemy. That's the interesting thing. You know, if you were to study this subject throughout the New Testament, you would find a consensus of the Holy Spirit speaking through all these different individuals, saying that Jesus is indeed Emmanuel, the Son of God. The Word became flesh. That's who he is. He is, in John chapter 5, the one persecuted for breaking the Sabbath who made himself equal with God. He is the one in John chapter 10 who said, I and the Father are one, and the Jews understood very well he didn't mean just agreeing with God. He meant that he's God. And it's not blasphemy. And that just amazes me. As we study through these statements, we come further down the road in the life of Jesus. The question has been asked before, and I'm not going to present myself as being able to answer it. The question is always asked of me, when did Jesus understand all of this? Because born as an infant, he didn't have the understanding of everything. He was limited by flesh. In the Gospel of Luke, where we see Jesus at the age of 12 left behind, remember, in Jerusalem, he grew in wisdom and stature. That means he didn't have all wisdom. He grew in wisdom in that sense. There is a very interesting challenge to understand how Jesus could at one and the same time be God in flesh and be limited. Let's just suffice to say that the statement of Paul, perhaps in Philippians 2, is a good way to grasp this in our mind, that Jesus submitted himself to God, the Father, didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or fought over. He let go of it so that he could come here, so that he could be the Savior, limited by time and space, having the physical limitations of us, but the pure soul that would allow him to be the sacrifice for our sins. In a few moments, we'll look at one more text of Scripture. Right now, a song.
He left all the splendor of glory, yet he knew on the cross he would die. For compelled by a love transcending, he was born to be crucified. Some men seem destined for power. Some men seem born to great fame. But the Son of God was destined to die on a cross of shame. He left all the splendor of glory, yet he knew on a cross he would die. For compelled by a love transcending, he was born to be crucified. What love this mind cannot fathom, that one so sinless as he should bear all the sins of the ages, to die on a cross for me. He left all the splendor of glory, yet he knew on a cross he would die. For compelled by a love transcending, he was born to be crucified.
I want you to be turning in your Bible now to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. While you're turning there, let me get you up to speed on what's going on in that chapter. And what we're going to look at here is some events that took place very near, in fact, within 24 hours and probably less of the end of Jesus' life. What we see in Mark chapter 14 is that it begins with the plot by the Jews to kill Jesus, the anointing at the home of Simon the leper. We see the Passover celebrated, beginning in verse 12, the preparation and the Passover following. We see the institution of the Lord's Supper, the one memorial that Jesus has encouraged and, in fact, demanded that we participate in. You see that in verse 22 through 25. They sing a hymn, they go to the Mount of Olives. On the way, there is a discussion that includes denials of by those who would betray him, and the struggle that lies ahead is outlined at least to some degree. Jesus crosses the Kidron and comes to a mountain, Mount Olive, in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember the events of Gethsemane. We'll be studying these in the coming weeks. I'm not going to deal with them in a big way now. Jesus prays three times in Gethsemane, with Peter, James, and John just a mere stone's throw away, and they can't stay awake. The betrayer comes, Judas, walks into the garden with the mob that he brings with him. We see Jesus arrested, beginning in verse 43 and following. Verse 46, they laid hands on him and seized him. You see, beginning in verse 53, the trials that Jesus begins to endure. And it is one particular spot in those trials that we want to read and discuss for just the last few moments of the program today. In Mark chapter 14, from verse 60 to verse 65, in the midst of many false witnesses being called and accusations being made against Jesus and trying to nail down a charge that would allow them to take his life, we read these words. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 60. The high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent and did not answer him. Again the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Tearing his clothes, the high priest said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Some began to spit at him, to blindfold him, to beat him with their fist, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers received him with slaps in the face. Those words are words that we have known before. They are words that signify the real beginning of what some consider to be the downfall of Jesus. We consider it to be the exaltation of Jesus. The fact that Jesus is enduring through this speaks to his love for us. Let's look at some of the words spoken here. You'll see in verse 59, the last verse that we didn't read coming into this, that the statement is made about the false witnesses. Not even in this respect was their testimony consistent. That's what the high priest questions Jesus about. What all these things are people are saying about you? What do you have to say about them? And Jesus at first doesn't answer. You see it in verse 61. He kept silent and did not answer. So the high priest questions him again, but a very direct question now. It's not about what the false witnesses said, what those who were testifying lies were saying, but it's about what Jesus is going to say. And it's very important that we understand this point. This is what Jesus says. This is not what anybody else says about him. Listen to this exchange at the end of verse 61 and the very first part of verse 62. "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am." Listen to those words. Let them sink into your heart and soul. Because what Jesus says is, "I am God." That's what he means. Now they get all upset and they talk about blasphemy, but as we have said before, it's not blasphemy if it's true. And it's true with Jesus. You see, Jesus speaks straight here and says, "This is who I am." And that's what this is about, really, isn't it? What if just a good man died for us at Calvary? What if it was somebody like many have made sacrifices of their life to save someone else? What if it was just that, just a good man? Then it was a noble and a gallant thing that Jesus did. But it would not have been redemption. You see, the point is about Jesus that he wasn't just a good man. That's blasphemy. He wasn't just a good man. It is who he is that makes Calvary to have the meaning that it has. Many good people died in those times from crucifixion. Thousands of Jews were crucified at the time that the Roman general conquered Jerusalem in AD 70. Jesus was one more crucified Jew, but he was oh so different. There was something about Jesus that was very unique. John 3:16 talks about Jesus being the one and only Son of God given for us. Mark chapter 14, Jesus said, "I am." He didn't need to say anything else. He didn't need to go past that. He is the Son of God. The last week of Jesus' life to us has the greatest of meanings because of who Jesus is. And that's where we're going to begin our study next week on the Word of Life. With this understanding of Jesus, not the understanding that society has today, not the understanding that theologians have had for years, But we're going to know that he's the Son of God going to Jerusalem for us, to Calvary for us, to the tomb. You join us next week. We'll do that.